Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. You guys glad to be here? Dude, I'm glad that you're here on a Wednesday night, man. A couple new not normal faces. Well, that's all of you, but the not regular Wednesday night attenders. For those of you that, I think most of you guys are here on Sunday, but I'll just repeat myself for effect. I like to hear my own talk sometimes. Most of the time I like to hear the sound of my own voice. Tonight we have a special treat with us. We have Pastor Rod Larkins. And his wife Sherry Larkins. I looked at their ID. They are in fact married. They are. So you guys been married for how many years? 22 years. Huh? Yeah. They're from Texas, so they got married when they were 15 and they're cousins, but it's fine. Come on, that was good. As you guys heard on Sunday, we met Rod and Sherry on the internet, Facebook. You never know what kind of people you meet on Facebook. I'm a big Facebook believer because you never know what God can do with Facebook. We've been friends for about 3 years on Facebook. We went from Facebook friends to phone friends, and we'll see how the week turns out. We might become real friends. I mean, he's been living with us to Sunday, and he's kind of on the edge here. So if he looks at you guys like, help me tonight as he's leaving, then help him out. No, they pastor a church called The Well in Houston, and you guys have been pastoring for 4.5 years. Previous to that, they had a Dream Center in Houston as well, correct? And you did that for 6 years? Is that right? So they were at the L.A. Dream Center, and they went there, and they had a Dream Center in Houston for 6 years. He's preached all over the world. It's funny, we were comparing notes. Everywhere I was deployed is the same places that he went to preach. So I was deployed to Egypt and Israel in 2001. He's like, hey, I was there preaching. And then I was like, hey, I was in Bosnia in 98, 99. He's like, hey, I was in Kosovo and Bosnia and Serbia preaching. And so it's very interesting to see that. I was in Australia in 93. Okay, wasn't there. So, bang, gotcha. All right. So they pastor a great church down in Houston. And as I told you guys, they're just about 4 to 5 years in. For those of you that were with us, wait. Was it Ryan? Well, welcome back, Mr. Garrett. At Faith and Victory Church, we silence our cell phones. I know it's been 2 weeks, but they've been going about 4 or 5 years. And for those of you that were with us in years 4 and 5, man, this pastor life ain't no joke. And so we just wanted to bring them up this week and encourage them. And so he's going to minister. And then when he's done ministering, we just want to save a few minutes. We want to pray for him and his wife, just bless them as they're here. And so Pastor Rod, will you come up and bring the word? And will you guys give him a Faith and Victory welcome?
Amen. Right down here is fine. Yeah, perfect. Well, good evening, everybody. Are you alive tonight? Tell the person next to you, you're going to look a lot better when you leave here tonight than you do right now. Amen. So glad to be here tonight on a Wednesday night. Like Pastor Matt said, we've been here since Sunday, and it's been awesome. We just want to thank both Pastor Matt and Pastor Crystal for allowing us to come and just loving on us. We love your pastors. You probably know already, but you got some dynamic pastors. Super blessed pastors, very encouraging pastors, and so we just honored to know them and just to have a God connection with them. just been a real blessing. So I'm going to get going because I've only got 10 minutes to show him that I'm anointed. So, because he told me, he said, look, I told everybody, if you're not anointed in 10 minutes, I'm just going to stand up and shut you down. So, which made me fall in love with him even more. I do the same. Amen. Now I'm losing my train of thought. Listen, I want to, before we pray over the word, I just want to share with what I feel like the Lord is wanting to do tonight. Anybody in here, you need healed in your body. You've been battling something where you just need God to heal you. Tonight is your night. Amen. That's one. That's one thing that I believe the Lord's wanting to do. The second thing is how many of you have ever been burning to go into the marketplace and to either win the lost, lay hands on the sick, anything like that? Can I see a raise of hands? How many of you believe that you're carrying something great inside you? And I tell people, you know, the Holy Spirit in you is not a lake. He's a river. Amen. And he's in you to get out. Amen. And so tonight at the end, I feel like the Lord is going to stir up some of those gifts. Amen. So as Pastor Matt said, we pastor the Well Church in Houston. We're not from Texas, so no, we're not cousins. we're actually from a little south of Chicago. I don't know what that makes us, but I was born and raised in that area, and she was raised in that area and then spent some time in the south. But I was in Egypt and Israel when God gave us the directive to go to Houston. Anyone ever been to Houston before? Yeah. Several of you? It's like the capital city of the Bible Belt. And I tell people there's more churches than people, and there's more pharmacies and hospitals than churches. It seems like for every church that gets started, they open 5 pharmacies and a hospital. Craziest thing. But it's one of the sickest cities in the nation as well. You would think that with all the presence of churches and what God's doing, you'd think you'd see something different. But that's about to change. Amen. So anyway, we moved there. We didn't know anybody that was there. I came back and told my wife, I said, you know, I feel like God's sending us to Houston. And she gave me that look like, what and why? I said the same thing that I asked God. Why Houston? Why not Seattle? You know what I mean? Why not somewhere besides? Because I'd never been there. Neither one of us had ever been to Texas, didn't know anybody in Texas. We just heard it was hot in Texas. The only seasons they have is hot, 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 and hotter. And so we took a year to pray and did a lot of fasting during that time, and God just confirmed it. We stepped out in faith and moved and came down to Houston, and we actually went to Galveston first, because when you look at the map, Galveston and Houston, it's kind of deceiving because it looks like it's like that far apart, so it must be 10 minutes. We didn't know it was 70 bloody miles. So we ended up in Galveston for 6 months. I'm thinking, why in the world did we come here when it's 70 miles away? So when we finally got to Houston, we God was dealing with our hearts about planting a church. And one of the things that I said to the Lord, I said, God, why another church in Houston? There's churches everywhere. But what God was burning in our hearts is that we're not like the normal church. And I'm not like the normal preacher. So if you're wanting normal, which you have these two, and that's, you know that's not normal. So love this man of God. Love you, buddy. So we're from the same tribe, I have a feeling. So, well, we planted and we realized that we were there for a purpose, and that was to stir up the body of Christ in Houston. And we've since planted a couple more churches and seeing them just plow. And so what we carry as a calling is a little bit different than what is the normal church in Houston. And so we're just going to continue to plow. One of the things that and this is what I want to talk to you tonight about, is one of the things that the Lord has been really burning in our hearts is the restoration of healing ministry back to the church. The reason why is the church is one of the sickest groups of people around. We're just as sick in the church as they are in the world. And it never used to be that way. We used to be a time where someone gets sick, you'd either go to the church, go to a revival, or call an elder somewhere. And there was power present in order to heal the sick. Now we send you off to a pharmacy or a doctor. It's not that I'm against medicine or anything like that, so please hear my heart on that. But I do believe God's wanting the power restored back to the church. I'll give you a nugget of wisdom. God's taking his church back.
Amen.
He wants his church back. And so I read one time about a revival when it starts. You know, God's in it. God blows the thing up. And then when a revival always ends, it's when God's people fight for the right to take the church back from God. That's when a revival ends. But we're coming into a time where it's not going to end. Amen. And so we have been seeing for several months now these wild and incredible miracles of healing in the church and in the marketplace where they belong. And so I'll just give you an idea of what we've seen in the last few months. And really all it was just us going after God. We've just been contending. It's like, God, I'm tired of being sick myself. I'm tired of seeing everybody. You know, when you're a pastor, when you get called, I can't make it today, I'm sick, that hurts. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about as pastors? It's frustrating sometimes when you're battling sickness on your own, or you've got family that you love and all that. So we started contending for God to really begin to release healing power and healing glory back into the church. Since then, we've seen some incredible miracles. We had, give you an example, we had a dear lady in our church that fell and broke her arm, and she broke her forearm here where they had to do surgery and literally pin the bone back together. And in the process, they had to remove a lot of the muscle here in the forearm. And so when it healed, and I was with her through the whole process. I mean, I was there the day it happened, went to the hospital with her through the surgery and saw the recovery, going through therapy and all that. She lost her grip. She couldn't grip anymore. And she had this massive indentation in her forearm where they had to remove the muscle. So we had been believing God for a miracle. And, you know, miracles happen. You know, how many of you know God never left the miracle business? The church did. Well, you're going to love me tonight, I have a feeling. No, I'm just kidding you. But we started contending for a miracle, and it was in an altar service. I was praying for people at the altar, and she had kind of waved me over to pray for. Honestly, I thought I was praying for her for something else. It didn't even dawn on me what she'd been praying for about her arm. And when I was done praying, she kind of grabbed me. She said, "Can you pray that God gives me my grip back?" Didn't say anything about what was about to happen. So I just said a simple prayer, you know, and just moved on. A few minutes later, she's over at the end just weeping, and she comes up to me. She says, "Look at this, Pastor, and I'm telling you, we witnessed God literally remove that indentation and grow that muscle back." And then she grabbed my hand and squeezed and was ready to arm wrestle. I mean, God just immediately healed her. And so that floored us. It's like, God, we've been believing for miracles, but when you see a miracle like that, you got to go back and readjust your thinking. It's like, God, I didn't think you'd take us for our prayer. You got to be careful what you pray, because God thinks you're serious. So a couple months later, we had a lady, and I was preaching, and God was already messing me up, because when you really are after God to restore something like that, he's going to take control over it. And I was telling Pastor last night, I said, I got up to preach one day, and God said, "Son, sit down. I don't need your message." Well, when you're a preacher, that's pretty humbling. It's like, God, what do you mean you don't need my message? I'm here to preach. That's what you called me to do. And so I had to humble myself and sat down, and I couldn't say a word for a few moments. Could I? I mean, people were sitting there thinking, what's Pastor doing? All of a sudden, the glory of God fell. And I had to sit there for 20 minutes and watch God touch people without me saying a word, without me laying hands on one body. And in that time, we saw God do more in that service than he'd been doing through me as a preacher for the last 5 years. Here was my school of the Spirit in that moment. He said, "Son, don't ever ask me to follow you to the pulpit again. You follow me." And that messed me up. And so after that, I knew that, God, if we're believing for healing, you're going to heal when you choose to heal. And it was a couple months after that that I was preaching. And God gave me a word of knowledge while in the middle of my message. He likes interrupting messages for some reason. So I'm wrestling now. I said, God, I've got to speak. I've got things to say. Can you at least wait? It's like, I know what I'm doing, God. And so after a few taps on the shoulder on that one, it got a little bit more stern where he started to grip. Are you going to listen to me or not? Was kind of where it ended up. I didn't want to go to the woodshed. So I just allowed God to, and I just said, look, there's a lady here that you've needed healing in your shoulder. And I just spoke out what I was hearing. And come to find out, her shoulder, she was facing reconstructive surgery on the cup of her shoulder, completely degenerated. And we prayed for, and later after the service, I went up and asked her, I said, so how's your shoulder? She goes, yeah, it feels the same. Nothing, I mean, she said, I felt the presence of God, but nothing's really, she said, I still feeling, you know, a little out of sorts with it. And I said, well, we're going to keep believing. But I knew God, I knew what God had said. She gets she gives me a call on Wednesday morning. That was a Sunday. She said, calls me on Wednesday morning. She said, Pastor, I got up this morning to go to work. There's no pain. I've got total movement in my shoulder. She went to the doctor that Friday to have the consultation where they were going to do the plan for the surgery. They did the x-rays and everything, and the doctor came back and said, you don't need surgery now. She said, the whole shoulder looks like it has been rebuilt. Now listen, God healed her, and that's been several months ago, and she has still kept her healing. Not one surgery was necessary. God's in the healing business. Do you believe that tonight? All right, stand upon your feet. That wasn't my message. We're just going to pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, you said when we pray our thy kingdom. Lord, you said when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask right now that your kingdom will manifest in this house like it is in heaven. Father, let us enter into a place right now, into that realm of your glory, where the impossible bows its knee to your word. Father, we thank you that we are entering in right now that place where miracles are possible. Father, you're bringing us to a place tonight of surrender, Lord, and we ask you that our hearts, God, will hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, let the Word, God, penetrate into the depths of our hearts, and God, produce life. We're ready, Lord, for a God encounter. Father, we know that, God, when you say something, you release the anointing, God, yokes are broke. And so, Father, we thank you that you are positioning us tonight to receive a fresh touch. We honor you right now, God. And we thank you in advance for what you're about to do in this place. God, in the end, let your will be done. And let your people leave here shouting and giving glory and honor, victory to you, Lord. Be the hero in this house tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to begin with verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. When you're there, say amen. And it says, and he called to him the 12 apostles and began to send them out as his ambassadors. I'm reading out the Amplified, by the way. In verse 7, it says, and he called them to him the 12 apostles and began to send them out with his ambassadors two by two and gave them authority and power over unclean spirits. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
And everybody say power.
Power.
In verse 8 it says, he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no bread, no wallet for a collection bag, no money in their belts, but to go with sandals on their feet and not to put on two tunics under garments. And he told them, wherever you go into a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any community will not receive and accept and welcome you, and they refuse to listen to you, when you depart, shake off the dust that is on your feet for a testimony against them. Truly, I tell you, will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment day than for that town. And it says, so they preached, they went out and preached that men should repent, that they should change their minds for the better and heartily amend their ways with abhorrence of their past sins. And as a result, this is what happened. Verse 13, and they drove out many unclean spirits and anointed with many who were sick and cured them. How many of you know that that's part of the commission? So let me take you back in time for just a moment and show you with what was happening. Jesus, for those few years on the earth when he was ministering, people saw many miracles. It was unlike the local, typical, average Pharisaical church presence at the time, who were more stout and religious on the outside, but Jesus said, you're whitewashed sepulchres on the inside. So Jesus shows up and begins doing all these wonderful miracles. And then all of a sudden, he shows the earth something new in regards to ministry. Now he sends out the 12 and gives them the command and says, go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when you do, cast out devils and heal the sick. And so something surprising and wild happened. They took the word of the Lord for what the word of the Lord said, and they obeyed. And when they obeyed, they saw heaven touch down on earth. And God began to do through their hands what the earth was seeing done through the hands of Jesus. It was interesting because I think what God was trying to do is, look, I'm showing you a new way of doing ministry. He was restoring the joy back to the commission. What is the commission in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8? You know it. And he said, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, now freely give. That was the Great Commission. You know, I tell people, you know, I get young people come up and say, Pastor Rod, can you lay hands on me and pray that I connect with God's will? Just pray God's will. And I'll look at them and I say, okay, it's easy. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, I want to be a school teacher. Great, be a school teacher. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Well, I want to be a police officer. Great, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils.
Amen.
Pastor, I want to get married. Wonderful, get married. But heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. It was part of what they were commissioned to do, despite what they did in life. Now, I'm going to throw you a curveball. That commission never stopped.
Yes.
How many of you know that Jesus is still your healer?
Yes.
How many of you know that he is still your deliverer?
Yes.
So if he did it then, he desires to do it now.
Yes.
And see, what he was doing there is he was showing what man can do if they will just obey the call.
Yes.
So tell the person next to you, I'm getting ready for a God encounter. You know what? Look at him and say, you need a God encounter. Hallelujah. So God was putting the joy back in the commission, which, by the way, never went away. It's still here. So I think what is happening now is that God is purging the misery out of American Christianity. You know, Hollywood... I was about to say holy weird, but they're getting some things together. Glory to God. They used to be really holy weird. Have you ever noticed that in some of those old movies that when they did portray the church, they always showed the church dressed in black.
Yeah.
And they always showed them standing there like they've been eating oats out of a gas pipe.
Yeah.
They got that face that's this long. They look miserable. They look bored. They look lifeless. And that was the camera's projection of what the church should be like. God never called us to eat oats out of a gas pipe. He never called our faith to be dead and lukewarm. He never called us to be so burdened down with sin and so messed up with no fire that we don't do anything for God. It's kind of funny. I had a pastor invite me to preach one time, and he hits me with this. I like to find out what God's doing. If I go to a church and sometimes I travel and preach, I like to know what God's doing. I ask your pastor. I say, tell me what God's doing. You know, where's the heart of God here? And so I asked this particular pastor this one time. I said, so pastor, tell me what do you feel like God's wanting to do? Here's what his response was, pastor, I just want to make it to heaven. And it caught my ears. I thought, what? What do you mean you just want to make it to heaven? He said, man, I'll just be glad if I make it to heaven. And I said, but what about until then? I mean, you're just going to sit here and suck up oxygen until you die? What do you plan on doing with your call? He goes, man, he goes, I just want to make it to heaven. He goes, well, how about you? And of course, I had to preach to him. I said, pastor, let me tell you. I said, you want to know what I want to do? I want to change the planet for Jesus. And I said, you know, I want to be that man that when he enters into heaven, Jesus stands up and welcomes me like he did Stephen. Come on, somebody. I want to be the one where the angels say, oh, here comes this Larkins guy who trampled upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, who was fearless, who preached an uncompromised word, who helped turn the church right side up. And so here's what his response was. He goes, well, that sounds good, but can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He goes, look, we got some important people coming this morning for our church. Can you tone it down a little? And I looked at him, I thought, Lord, thank you for sending me to the right place. Because I told this pastor, I said, pastor, look, dear pastor, I love you. I said, but I'm not here to tone anything down. How can you tone down the gospel that gives life? I said, just like Jesus, the words we speak are spirit and life. And I looked at him, I said, look, I can't promise you I'm going to tone it down, but what I will promise you is the resurrection power of God will be in the atmosphere, and maybe this guy that you say is so important that you don't want to offend, maybe he'll get touched. And I got to tell you, it was funny because they sat him in the front row. And, you know, I'm kind of unorthodox, and if you haven't noticed already. And I got up to this pastor, next to the pastor, this guy said, look, you don't mind me dancing all over your shoes, do you? And he looked, and it wasn't the pastor, I was talking about this guy that they didn't want to offend. He looked at me and said, what do you mean dance in my shoes? I said, well, sometimes I get excited, and I may just dance all around you. If that's not going to offend you, I just want to make sure. And he didn't say nothing, but I got up there and I preached my heart out. Guess who was the first person at the altar weeping and crying out to God? That man. And he went on to be a blessing for that church. And I looked at the pastor. I said, you know what? You need to pour into him. Maybe he'll pastor this church one day. Oh, that felt good. Hallelujah. So God's doing something amazing. He is beginning to pour out ever-increasing glory in the church. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture, and then I'm going to share something real quick with you. Isaiah 60, verse 1. I believe that this is a prophetic Scripture for the last days church. How many of you know you're living in the last days? And I tell people, look, I'm in the most exciting, biblical, historical time. Look, I would have loved to walk with Jesus. I would have been probably worthless because I'd been like one of those starry-eyed groupies that would have never done anything except follow Jesus. You know, you get around groupies and they're just starstruck. I would have been starstruck. He would have asked me to take up the offering, I would have forget it. I would have been speechless. To be around him for 3.5, come on, somebody. And so here's what God is wanting to do. I believe that God is releasing his glory over his people. Amen. Isaiah 60, verse 1, here's what it says. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. And he said, rise to a new life. Yes. And then here's a wonderful command. He said, shine and be radiant with the glory of the Lord.
Tell the person next to you, you need to shine. He said, for your light has come, and the glory, everybody say glory, has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and dense darkness peoples, but the Lord shall rise upon you. Look, I don't care how wicked America gets, you're brighter.
Amen.
I don't care how messed up Washington gets, you're brighter. Washington can't change America. You can.
Amen.
So goes the church, so goes the nation. Yes. Whatever condition of the church is, you'll have a messed up condition in Washington. You fix the church, you fix Washington.
Yes.
Say amen, somebody. So never in the history of the church has there been such a desire from the heart of God to reveal His glory. God wants to reveal His glory so that His radiance might shine upon you, in you, and through you.
Yes.
How does that happen? Through the Great Commission.
Yes.
You know, like I said, the Holy Spirit in you is like a river, not a lake. You can't contain what God has put in you. It's not designed to be contained. You can't change the world around you until God changes you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, over the last several months, God has been stirring us up for more. Have you ever prayed God more?
Yes.
Some people, man, you can have the Bentleys, you can have all that stuff. I want more
yes.
of God.
Yes.
I don't need a million-dollar house. I just need more of the Holy Ghost in my life.
Yes.
Now, if you got a million-dollar house, bless you. But I just want to be blessed with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. I'm hungry for the more.
Yes.
So we did something radical in our church. We started a ministry called Treasure Hunts. And we get together and we just pray at the altar in the sanctuary, and then we just go out into the marketplace and let God be God. And we were dealing with a lot of the people in the church that never believed that they could ever be used of God. You know, they always thought maybe it's just the pastor or the pastors. You know, that's not true.
Amen.
You're anointed.
Amen.
To heal the sick.
Amen.
To cast out devils.
Amen.
To raise the dead. Anyone believe in raising the dead?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the frozen chosen church people.
That's right.
They need to be resurrected too. But I'm talking about bona fide God raising. Look. He was bad business for funerals. He really was. So anyway, we started going out and we started seeing things happen in the marketplace. Who would have ever thought in the frozen vegetable section of Walmart in front of the Brussels sprouts could you see somebody get healed? So we started being led of God, and we would go and we would just let God lead us. And we would go for one reason, to win the lost, to heal the sick, to see people set free. In that process, we started seeing testimonies of God. I remember one night we saw a young lady that was pushing a cart in through a parking lot. She looked homeless, but she wasn't homeless. But she had a young baby. She had no shoes or socks on her feet walking through the parking lot. So our team stopped and began witnessing to her and just pouring love on her. And she got the full package, because come to find out in the conversation, she was talking about how her back had been hurt and she couldn't work on disability and all that stuff. And so as the team ministered to her, in that night, on that encounter, not only did my wife, I think, led her to the Lord, my daughter took her own shoes off and gave them to the lady, and then God healed her back, all in one package. I was sitting in a Starbucks, you know, because that's where most pastors go, and yeah, I love Starbucks until God tells you to quit it. And then you have to beg God for mercy so you can go back to Starbucks. I was in there on a Sunday morning, and I was just kind of had my laptop up and my Bible on the side, and I was just kind of getting ready for Sunday morning, and I'm not even paying attention to what's going on around me, and this guy comes up in front of me and hits the front of the laptop, and I looked up at him, and he goes, "I take it you're a preacher." And I said, "Yeah, matter of fact, I am. How are you?" And he said, "I hate people like you."
Yes.
here I am trying to study in the presence of God, enjoying my Frappuccino, and this guy wants to throw down. So I thought, can I resurrect the old man for just a moment? I'll throw down. So then the Spirit of God just said, no, I have a reason. I have a purpose here. So I looked up and I said, can I get you a cup of coffee? I'm sorry that you hate me, but I mean, the least I can do is love you and give you some Starbucks. Maybe that'll make you feel better. So he sits down. It didn't even ask him to, you know, to share with what he was about to share. But over the next few moments, he's telling me his entire life hellacious story. And by this time, I was like, God, I really got to go and preach. I don't have time to be dealing with this guy that needs help. Now, don't tell me you never had those thoughts where you just try. Come on now. Somebody said to me, are you bringing the heat? I'm from Texas, so I'm bringing the heat plus the barbecue sauce tonight. So I looked at this guy, and God gives me a word of knowledge for this man, and I interrupt him, and I said, you know what? I want to hear what's going on, but God wants to heal you of a tumor. Now, before it got out of my mouth, I almost, you know, sometimes you stay stuffy, and he's like, can I wind that back? Because what if the guy don't have a tumor? I'm going to look like an idiot. And then, God, it's your fault, because I'll just blame you, you know, trying to get out of it. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, God, help me. And at that moment, his eyes got that big, and he just put his head down. And the presence of God came. And he looked at me and goes, how did you know I had a tumor? I said, brother, I don't know. But I do know this. God is here right now to deal with this. Now, here's a man who was in all kinds of sin, unsaved, mad at God, hated us poor preachers. Come to find out, after the story, he was estranged from his own mom, so he had all that baggage, and God, out of all of that, decided to heal him. Yes. So I looked at him, I said, look, can I ask you, where is the tumor, if you don't mind? And he said, it's right here, and he pulled his jacket down, and the tumor the size of a golf ball was right next to his spine. And I said, is it okay if I pray for you? And by this time, he's shaken. And so I just said a simple prayer. I said, God, you've loved this man enough that you would interrupt his hell to heal him, to show him that you're the healer. You had to show him that you're able to heal a tumor to show him you're able to heal his soul. And so I prayed a simple prayer, and by this time I'm happy. Sometimes I hear crazy stories like that. I get excited. Somebody tells me they got cancer. I want to leap from the chandeliers. It's like there's a moment to see God be God. Yes. And so, yeah, never mind. Let me move on. So I begin to watch as he just begins to move his shoulder, and he just begins to shake a little bit. And by this time, I'm kind of leaning over him, and I literally watched this tumor disappear. And I'm thinking, man, this wasn't close enough to be like a bulging disc or anything. This was a tumor. He gets up. By this time, he's weeping, heads to the bathroom. And I thought, okay, maybe he freaked him out or whatever. 10, 15 minutes, he finally comes back, and he sits down. I'll never forget. And he grabbed my hand and said, tell me about this Jesus. Now listen, look, I led him to the Lord, but then God healed him of his relationship with his mom. Before I left to walk to the church, he was on his phone with his mom after 5 years of being estranged. And if you don't see something like that stir you up and break you for healing ministry, I don't know what will. So here's what happened, and I'm going to close in just a second. I got really bold with God. It was a lot of courage started to come. I said, all right, God, now I'm seeing these miracles now. I've always believed you were in a healing ministry. I got saved, thankfully, in a church that was on fire. I got saved in a ministry. I was, you know, how many of you know R.W. Shanbach? I was under his ministry as a spiritual son. And when you see that kind of revival ministry, it's hard to walk away cold and dead, because he'll cast the devils right out of you. Yep. So I had a hunger to see God. I just want to see God be God. God, if you did it then, why can't you do it now? I mean, if you added 3,000 people in a day, how come you can't do it now? Who's saying that you can't do it now? If you raise the dead then, you can raise the dead now. So I got really bold with God. I said, God, look, do it again. And so God began to teach me about just surrendering and yielding and taught me that, look, I've anointed you. You carry gifts that I've given you. Not one person in here is exempt from that. Not one person. You don't get a pass. There's not a pass section in heaven. It's like for all the ones that I gave those little passes to go out and win the lost, this is going to be in this section. And there are no hospitals in heaven. Why? Because there's no sickness there. Amen. And so I said, all right, God, he began to teach me about his presence. And I thought, God, I want to carry your presence. Look, if a shadow can heal, my shadow can heal.
Yes. Amen.
And so I was in the mall in a what do they call that? It was a yogurt smoothie place, whatever that's called. And I'm standing there, and I just had like an hour-long prayer meeting with God, just me and God, contending for the presence of God to be upon me so that people would know, look, there's nothing wrong with you being able to walk into a Starbucks and the atmosphere change. Yeah. How is that? Greater is he that is in you.
Amen.
And so I'm standing, I'm not saying nothing, totally silent, just standing in line, and I feel the presence of God come down. And I'm thinking, man, this is wonderful, God. There's going to be a revival right here in the smoothie line at the mall. So I didn't do nothing. I didn't preach. I just stood there waiting for my smoothie. But I knew the presence of God was there. Three or four people in front of me, this lady just does this. She goes, glory to God. And I didn't say nothing. I'm just standing there. And she's telling her, I think it was her daughter. She's telling her daughter, she said, man, I think the Lord just healed me. And this whole time she's stepping one step up, in the line, and she's still, glory to God. I didn't say nothing. I didn't have to say nothing. I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. And so I thought, that's wonderful to see that. And when she walked away, I just stood up. I said, ma'am, Jesus is an amazing healer, isn't he? That's all I said. And she just... I think she tried to dance away, I think it was embarrassing her daughter because she was so happy. But God has never left the healing business. Why is that? Because he has a passion for his people. How is it that we stopped at the cross? Salvation, that's how it begins. But there's more than salvation. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's completeness. There's fullness. And if we are saved, we're just as equally given right to be healed. Amen? Stand upon your feet. Can I have the worship team or whoever does come up and play while we pray for a few moments? If you are here tonight and you need a touch in your body, I want to give you an opportunity to be able to step forward and leave here healed. Doesn't matter what you're battling with. I mean, we've seen people healed of cancer. We've seen people healed of allergies. You know, it's funny, in the last couple months, we've seen two people healed that needed knee replacement surgery and one needing hip replacement. So, and those three, we never even laid hands on. They were healed during worship. So if you're here tonight and you need a touch in your body, I want you to just come, to step forward, and we're going to pray. He is the master physician. He is Jehovah Rapha. Now, for those of you that are stepping forward, I'm going to also ask for those of you that are bold enough and courageous enough that you want to step out into the marketplace. You know, it's not just the pastor's responsibility to win the lost, right? I'm sorry, did I get an amen on that one? It went silent there for a second. I don't know if we just had a dead space. It's our responsibility as the kingdom to win the lost at any cost. But also our responsibility to take His word, which promises divine healing and deliverance to His people. And so if you want to get courageous and bold enough to step out and wherever you're at, whether it's at the workplace, a Walmart, a Starbucks, and just because I know there's people in here, I know that you've had moments of where there's been opportunities and you felt compelled to, hey, man, I know this person needs healed, but you held back. Sometimes you just got to be bold and step out. Even if they don't get healed, you still step out. Because sometime you'll see somebody healed. Amen. And so if that's you, come forward as well. And I believe God's going to activate some of that gifting and stir you up for marketplace evangelism. I always believe the greatest tract you can give is a miracle. Hallelujah. So, for those of you who need healed, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to just lift your hands towards heaven. I want you to set your faith where faith belongs. Lord, you said the prayer of faith will save and heal the sick. Lord, you said in your word, by your stripes, we are healed. Father, you said to lay hands on the sick and they shall, not they might, but they shall recover. Father, you said what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, Lord, and what we loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Lord, we know sickness is illegal there. So we speak to that sickness right now, and we render it illegal here. So, Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, let your anointing begin to release and fall into this house. Whatever the issue is, wherever the need is physically, God, we know without a doubt you are more than able. So God, we honor you right now, healer. We honor you, great physician. We honor you, Lord, that you are a God that does not lie. Father, we ask you for your fire, God, to release into this place and burn out, God, every infirmity. We cancel right now every assignment of the enemy, and we command sickness to leave these bodies in Jesus' name. We take authority over every infirmity. God, we just release right now faith to believe for a miracle. Father, right now, Father, from the top of our head to the bottom of our shoes, let your healing begin to manifest, Lord. Spirit of God.
Pastor Rod, will you and Sherry come stand up here for me, please? And then would some of you come stand up, and I want you to just lay your hands on them, will you? You stand right here. Some people can come up here, that's fine. Rod, will you and Sherry, will you guys look at me for a sec? I just want to let you know God is proud of the work that you're doing. He hasn't forgot about you. He sees the prayers, and he's seen the tears. And he has not given up on you. This is going to be a defining moment in your guys' ministry. And God is going to begin to do new things that you've never seen before. The best is yet to come. We're in a prayer of you right now. God, I thank you right now for Rod and Sherry. God, I thank you for the ministry that they have in Houston. God, we pray a blessing over them right now in the name of Jesus. God, that you would fill them up. God, that you would take away any discouragement, that you would take care of any emptiness, any worry, any doubt, any wonder. God, that you would renew the joy of their salvation, God, that even as they're here for the next few days, God, that you'd just be renewing that joy. When they get back to church on Sunday, God, I pray that their church would look at them and say, what happened? What happened? God, we pray for an increase in their finances, God. We pray for an increase in people. We pray for an increase in volunteers. Specifically, we pray for strong, godly men to show up at the well. God, that they would come to support Rod and his ministry, God. God, we thank you that you're already preparing the hearts of people for what's going to happen at the well. That years from now, that they're going to look at this as a time when the corner was turned and you began to do great, huge things in their church, God. God, we pray a spirit of encouragement over them tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. 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 Would you guys go back to your seats for just one moment, and then we're going to get out of here. Amen. You know, as you're taking your seats, I want to remind you, you still have to go pick up your kids. They're downstairs. And listen, whoever has your kids tonight, I want you to look at them, and I want you to look at them and say, thank you. I needed what was upstairs. And then remember who it is and bring them a Starbucks card on Sunday. Okay? Just a $5 Starbucks or a what's this one over here? A Bigfoot. Whoever it is, right? And Pastor Amber, too, thank them, okay? I want to be spiritual for one second before we have you bless Pastor Rod and Sherry with some finances. I really felt like as I was praying that God wanted to release some people from shame. I heard that word so clear that there was a few people here that you want to walk in what God has called you to walk in, but you're being held back by the shame of your past, and you feel as though you have no moral ground to stand on based on what you've done in your immorality. And the Spirit of the Lord is speaking tonight saying, either I made you new or I didn't. Either you are a new creation or you're not. And so I just want you to hold on to it and believe it tonight, knowing that God wants to use you even more now than he did before, because now you've got a testimony. That which is in the past is just there. It's in the past. Amen. Amen. So we're going to do it a little bit different tonight. Pastor Todd is hanging out back there. And so as you leave tonight, I just want you to put something in there, man.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.